Ski. Hey, what she look like? Hey, she got an ass that'll swallow up a G-string. And up top, two beast things. Two beast things. She got an ass that'll swallow up a G-string. She got an ass that'll swallow up a G-string. And up top, two beast things.
Welcome to the Uncensored Podcast with Tumbo and Black Moses. This is your boy Tumbo. We back. It's been a whole month since we did our last episode. Corona almost got me. Corona almost took me out. So yeah, we had to cut this boy. Yeah.
Tell him where your boy at, man.
Moses? Oh man, this motherfucker. Man, so me and him got into it. So I was diagnosed with COVID November 19th. Yeah, November 19th. Did my thing, went to the hospital, been gone for a while, separated myself. I said, yeah, bro, we're going to do the show. Talked to him last week. I can't come. I'm like, why? You still got COVID. What? Like, what are you talking about? So me and him argued. We had a big text message arguing about me having COVID. I was like, dude, I don't have COVID no more. You think I'll be out here in the streets if I had COVID?
Test negative.
I said, I test negative. You got to take that vaccine first. I said, man, what? He said, I got bronchitis or something. He said, crazy. I said, see, yo, I asked you to stop watching the freaky news. See, he acting old right now. So that's why he ain't here, people. He acting old. So if you weren't in school somewhere in whatever, Montana, and then Carrie, she late because somebody stole her keys. So you just got your boy Tumbo.
Tumbo.
Yes. So to my left, we have. Go ahead, Ryan.
Ryan, a.k.a. D. Rizzy, a.k.a. his spiritual counselor, a.k.a. Yes. His sparring partner.
Yes.
It's just me. It's Ryan.
Yes.
We in here. We in there.
And we have a special guest. One of the pioneers of this show. The reason why this show exists. He's one of the three reasons why. Him, my uncle, and Patrice O'Dell. Rest his soul. The bishop, rest his soul. Introduce yourself, sir.
Well, first of all, man, what an introduction, man.
Thank you.
Pioneer.
Yes.
My mother would argue that, like, yo, get your pioneer ass out of my house then. Shit. Man, listen, man, thanks a lot for that introduction, man. My name is Sandra Rodriguez. And yes, man, that's, you know, to put me in that category, first of all, with your uncle, who I love and respect, man. Gita, we did a great show, the Black and Yellow radio show at one time, which was very great. And so thanks a lot for putting me in that category, especially with Patrice O'Neal. That's huge, dude.
Oh,
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy, like, man. That means I better be this shit, because if this doesn't look good on me, people going to be Patrice O'Neal. He mean Patrice. Yeah. Smith or some shit. That ain't no Neil over there, man.
God, appreciate so dear.
But thanks for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it, man.
Yes, he's a legendary. All three of the people I introduced is legendary comics. Funny. I don't think my Uncle Mike was funny, though.
What?
I don't think he's funny.
You know what, man?
He be saying stuff like, oh, I already know. Like,
the thing about it is, because you see him on a regular, right? If you see him on a regular, then that's just his personality, right?
Right, I'm like, that's
funny. But I've seen Gita perform many times, man. And yes, we'd be funny offset and during the shows. Your uncle's always funny on his shows, man. His material is very, very funny.
He got a funny joke when he talked about my cousin, when he scared him about he drew the picture of vaginas or something at Taco Bell.
It's hard to paraphrase him. You gotta go watch him live.
Like, that's funny, because when he would say that, I was laughing. I was like,
nah, but your uncle's hilarious, man. He's funny.
Oh, well. So, yes. So, you have a show on YouTube?
Yeah, a new show that started October 2nd. It's called Sandro's Place, The Meeting of the Creative Minds. And what I wanted to do was, because COVID has been what it's been, I wasn't able to do shows. I did a few shows before the whole shutdown, but it just didn't feel safe, man. You know, people were just not wearing masks. So I was like, you know what, let me just hold off, and then they just shut everything down. So I said, you know, I always wanted to do a podcast. And I took this show, Sandro's Place, the name has been always with me and stuff like that. And so basically it's a show where I just invite comedians, artists, whether it's music, podcasts, hosts, anyone, to just sit down. We talk about what it is they do, how they got there, where's their journey, where they want to take this to, and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to be on there one day.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely we're going to have you guys on the show, man. Yeah. I just feel like, to me, you know, the reason why, you know, I call it the meeting of the creative minds is because I'm meeting different people. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a podcast, right? Everyone has a show where they talk and stuff like that. But everybody's minds is different.
Right.
We're all creative in every single way. So, you know, whether I'm talking to someone who's Hispanic or African-American or whatever the case is, it's just some, it's different people talking, different perspectives and stuff like that. So I just like sitting with different people, whether it's comedy, whether it's, you know, even actors and stuff like that, and just getting to know more about them and their creative process.
All right. What made you get into comedy? That's another crowd.
You know what, man? Okay, so years before I moved to L.A., you know, I used to hang with everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And always you always get that person in the circle of your friends, like, man, he's funny. He should be a comedian. That's not always the case, though. Because this is how I feel, just because you can make somebody laugh in a circle, that's different. Because you're not really doing material there. That's just you being silly, being your personality. That's just you. That's your personality right there. But then in 2005, I had moved to Los Angeles. And when I moved out there, I was hanging out with some friends and did the same thing. We was hanging out. We were all laughing. They were like, hey, you should try comedy. And I'm like, at first I said no. And the reason why I said no is because I felt like, you know, this, like singing and everything else, I respect that craft. Now, right. If I groom myself to being a comedian, then maybe yes. But other than that, I won't just hit the stage just because I made a group of people laugh. So it didn't work for me that way. But then eventually a buddy of mine was like doing a show and he said, hey, listen, man, I'm looking for a host. Would you mind hosting the show for me? And I'm like, yo, I'm not a comedian though, bro. I'm not going to do any jokes for you, man. He goes, come on, man, just come host the show, man. Just bring your energy. I'm like, all right, man, cool. So I go to host his show, man, out in the deadest area in the world, man. I thought we was going to get robbed. I didn't know where we were going. I'm like, yo, is this a comedy show? Am I going to get robbed in this bitch? I just had some new Nikes. I was like, yo, I was kind of like, I didn't want to go over there. So then we go over there. We go to this place. And I get on stage. Place is packed. Sold out, show out. We had some nice crew there. And I get on stage and I'm performing, but I'm not even performing. I'm just kind of just talking and I'm noticing that I'm not doing any material. People ain't laughing, nothing like that. And I'm like, I got off stage, brought the next comic in. So then the guy comes to me, he says, yo, listen, man, I need you to do some material. I said, dude, I'm not a comic. Talk about anything. He's like, dude, he's like, talk about anything. I'm like, so then I went up, you know, after he was finished, I got back on stage. And then I just started talking, but this is the first time I'm performing comedy. I'm looking on the floor because I'm nervous as shit. Uh-huh. And I'm talking about, like, living in my apartment and this, all these different scenarios and all that stuff like that. And I start to hear people laugh. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, cool. So then after that, I said, maybe I should give this a try and really put some thought into it. So then I went and wrote some material, and my boy was like, listen, I want to give you a spot at the Comedy Store. Comedy Store is a big place. That's the home for all comedians in Los Angeles. Uh-huh, it's owned by Pauly Shore's mom, Mitzi Shore. That was my first time doing comedy there. And so I remember I get up on stage. They call it the belly room. It's upstairs. I get up in there and I start. At this time, I don't know the rules. Like, watch for the light. Because mm-hmm. the light tells you that, yo, your time is up. I don't know about these things. I'm new to this game. So uh-huh. I'm on a stage and I'm telling my jokes. I think I wrote a joke about, this was around the time where Chris Brown had beat up Rihanna. I wrote a bit about that, and people were just laughing. Then I realized that the light in the back was blinking red. I ain't know none of it. So I finished my set, and I'm like, I get off, and people were laughing. And then I told my boy, yo, man, how did I do? He goes, you ran the clock, motherfucker. But how did I do, though, man? Did I do good?
What clock?
He's like, yeah, man. He goes, but you ran the clock, dude. You did 18 minutes. I'm like, you only have 5. I was like, shit, for real? Was it a solid 18 minutes? I don't remember, dude. And then also people were telling me, yeah, man, you did really good. So then from that point on, I started to learn more about the lighting, the time, and all that. And I started to craft material to kind of fit the amount of time that I was on stage. Okay. And then from that point on, man, I just kept going, man.
I want to do comedy. I'm just scared.
I think you can do it, bro.
I think like, you should.
Anybody that you around, bro, you make them laugh. Everywhere you go, bro.
They were like, you funny. I'm like, man, I'm not. This is real. I'll be telling like real life stories.
I think what you want to do is, if you want to give it a shot, craft it. Craft it into, take a story that you find is funny, that there's some funny elements in it, and craft it into a 5 to 6 minute set. Yeah, or even just, 7 minute set. And then go for it, man.
Just don't put my name in none of it, bro.
I won't. That's how the story is about me and you. So stop
with this. Just put my name if people don't want to get, you know, because then you got to cut that check. Remember I told you about earlier about names?
Yeah. I mean, you can still like cut me a check, but if you, you know, if, just if, don't
if,
put my name.
If you look, the, if you use the likeness in perpetuity of somebody, you got to cut that check. So.
I won't use nobody. I'll make up names.
I'm John Doe, bro.
I got stories about big girls. Big girl that broke my mama chair, mama couch.
Bruh.
Good times.
We had just fixed that couch.
The couch and she sat like she plopped down. She was like blew the couch like. I was like, oh.
We all looked at each other like.
Was this girl you trying? You were trying to kick it with?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. So she broke the couch. Did you still kick it with her?
I was mad. I was just like, my mom's gonna kill me. She's gonna kill me. I didn't even want to talk to her.
What happened? Did you kick her out after that?
No, she stayed there. It was like, and she sat there and she
And we knew she broke it,
like,
though.
Bro,
like,
you broke the couch.
You had to have felt that when you sat down. Like, oh shoot, I think I broke the couch.
Ain't saying that, just looking at us like, normal,
like nothing happened, bro.
But you didn't kick her out, though. You was like, you know, you broke the couch, but you got to do something to work it off.
You got to stay home, man. I'm like, oh.
That's crazy, man.
I didn't even know she was big.
How the hell you didn't know she was big?
Somebody else put me on. I can't use names.
Put you on. I mean, well, that person didn't put you on.
Wait a minute, was she standing behind a wall or something?
No. So it was this chick that I was talking to. His mom's was going out of town. Hopefully, his mom's not.
She don't listen to this. Right, she don't listen.
His mom's was going out of town.
Right? No, she don't listen.
And, you know, it was us being us. So it was this chick that I was talking to, and I'm like, well, you know what I'm saying? If you coming over, you got to bring some friends. And she was like, oh, I got a friend for you. Her name, Net. So I'm like, all right, cool. That's cool. So
that's key word.
Anytime like, you hear a word like Net, not the whole thing, so that should be a, that's key, a key sign. She's a big ass chick.
Net.
So her whole name was Jeanette. I knew her growing up. So I knew who she was, but I didn't know who she was. So she's like, yeah, cool. I got somebody her name, Net. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, put her on the phone. Let us talk to her. So we talked to her, yada, yada, yada.
I said, she's like, oh, yeah. She sounded good over the phone.
You couldn't tell she was fat or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we set it up. We like, yeah, come through this time, this day, whatever. So the day come up and, you know, they pull up. So the chick that I was talking to got out. And then the big chick was still in the car. And we like, where the other friend at? And she like, oh, she coming. And she got out the car. We like, is that her? Yeah, that's her. That's Net. And we all looked at each other. Like,
I was like, oh, shoot. Bro. This is before I was in love with big girls. Now I love them. Oh, I love big
we
girls
like,
now.
Bro, he like, I'll take the L for the team this time, bro.
And then she was like,
when you let's say big, I'm not a small guy, but I mean we're
she
talking.
Was big. She was big.
It was a group. It was like she was the group.
Yeah, she was big.
like the chick off of Friday.
That's
Smokey.
You remember when Smokey got?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Like that.
I was thinking about like Janet Jackson.
He was like, I was like Freddie Jackson and shit, right? What the hell? Damn.
I was like, wow. And then she was like, hey, Ron. I was like, that? I was like. Good. Like, you know it? You
could have
been.
Like, my bad, bro. I couldn't put two and two together, bro.
Yeah, well, if you would put two and two, it should turn into four. That's what happened.
Yeah, right.
That's what happened. You put two and two together.
And then this ain't the funny part. It was another chick there, and she was pregnant. It was for our other boy. Yeah. And he was like, I said, oh, you got to pray. At least I got a big chick. I'm good, dude. You got a pregnant chick.
That's
like,
crazy.
She was like, she was about to pop. Like, she was bad mother.
And you know what's sad, too, is that the voice changes when she shows up in person. Yes. Like, she sounds like, hey, how you doing? Hey, man. What up, dog? Like, what the fuck happened? Who the fuck?
Let hey, dog.
Man. Who the Devo in this bitch?
It's smoking 12 packs of cigarettes?
Jesus.
Like, dog.
Oh, man, that's the worst, man.
It was so many stories. I got my mom. My mom and my aunties beat me. Cause I went over old girl house. You dropped me off. You remember?
Oh yeah.
She's like, you cheated. She started beating on me. Oh good time.
They
tried
to blame it on me.
Oh good time. Good
always
time.
Try and blame it on me, bro.
And they never like he'll put me in situations. I said, Mom, I was with Deron. Deron would never do you like that. He's a good boy. I'm like, no, Mom, he just as dirty as I am. No, he's not. Don't say that. Don't talk bad about him.
And if he is, you taught him. You.
Right. Oh, I did it to you.
That's crazy, man.
Good times. So I can tell y'all about the nurse story in the hospital. So, yeah, okay. So when I was having COVID, whatever, I was looking out. I was in, what hospital was that?
Bruh, you went to McLaren.
McLaren, downtown.
The worst hospital you could go to.
Nah, bro. St. Joe's.
That's a lot of people that go in there that don't make it out.
I had that on St. Joe's, bro.
That was there. That's in the Sale Asylum over there in Pontiac. Yeah. I drove by there. I remember one time I was sick and I said, you know what? Fuck that. I'll keep driving home. I'll get there eventually. I'll be all right. I'll drive to Henry Ford Hospital. It's a little further, but it's okay. I'll get there because I've driven my McLaren.
It was that or St. Joe's. Man. I was not going to St. Joe's. I should have went to St. Joe's because, you know, our brother there, he could have looked out for
me. Right.
But, man, I went to McLaren, man. So I'm sitting there looking outside the window. The nurse was like, hey, Mr. Jones, I'm here for you to check your lungs, make sure everything's still good. All right. So she walked up. I just feel breasts is on my back. And for some odd reason, I just got happy. Like, my penis got hard. Cause, you know, I never had none in a while, you know. It's been months. My wife been neglecting me. Shout out to my wife. I love you, baby. But still, she been neglecting me and stuff. So it's like, it got hard. I'm like, dang, dude. Like, oh, man, please go down. I got to think of something, you know, so she won't see it. She's like, breathe. And then she was like, breathe deeply. I was like, oh, shoot. Her voice sounded.
That was all in your head, bro. I was like, oh, man.
She's telling me to breathe deeply. And I was like, oh. And then she's like, got to turn around. I checked the front. And I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, I was trying to think of something. I said, Deron and Greg playing basketball. That ain't work. I was like, oh. And then for some odd reason, Beyonce was in my head. Beyonce and Rihanna just popped in my head playing basketball. So that didn't work. So
you was at MCRN Hospital. Because that's when I went there, when the three letters were missing. I said, MCRN Hospital? What the fuck is that? I ain't going in this bitch. I'm going, take me back to Henry Ford. Fuck this shit.
Yes.
I just see MCRN up on the wall. Like, hell no. Nah. Yeah, I went there one time, man. You know what scares me? I like Pontiac. Pontiac's cool, but there's some parts of Pontiac where it just looks like there's no civilization there.
A lot of people say
it just looks like, you know, like an episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And what are all the people at in this bitch? It's like one store. And that's it.
That's how the doctor's hospital is.
Oh yeah,
That place look abandoned.
No, listen, I'm gonna give you a really horror story. So. My father lives in Brooklyn, right? I go visit him every year in New York. And I went over there, and there's a hospital, and I had a seizure one time when I went to visit him. And he took me to a hospital called Woodhall Hospital. The name in itself is just not cool. Like, there's nothing that says something about inviting, I'm going to take care of you, and you're going to go home right afterwards. Woodhall just sounds horrible. So, and the hospital's literally down the street from his house, right? So we get down there, and, you know, bums everywhere and stuff like that. And you get inside, man, and the hospital is just dirty. And you look at the ceiling, man, and you see, like, holes. Because it's like, you know, you pop holes or whatever like that. You pop holes and stuff like that, right? Because people probably throwing pins or whatever. But then you see butter and everything up there. And you see feet prints. I'm like, where the fuck am I at? I'm thinking, am I in the upside down? Why does this shit look like this, man?
Oh, man.
And it's just, and it was just nasty. I mean, and the food that they bring you, it looked like something that was just left in the refrigerator that don't work no more.
Yep.
It's just horrible, man. I was just in the point. The only reason why it was cool is because my nurse, she was hot.
Yep.
And she would go and bring me food from the outside. She'd go outside and bring me food. Because she wouldn't eat none of that shit. But it was a scary ass fucking hospital. You're just looking and you'd be like, man, do people live in this bitch? Like, do you leave?
Right.
You go home and shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if, you know, like this tag, is this a toe tag that I'm wearing right now?
Or am I about to die?
Am I going to die this bitch? And are you guys just preparing me to put me inside of a fucking machine and cremate me or something like that? It's scary as shit, man.
They need to fix these hospitals, like, because that hospital turned me down, the doctor's hospital.
They turned you down?
Yeah, that's why I went to McLaren. They was like, you got insurance? I was like, nah. She was like, you got $70? I said, I don't got my wallet. She said, we can't help you, sir.
What hospital was this?
The doctor's hospital off right there by Central.
Wait, that's what it's called?
Yeah,
it's called
doctor's hospital.
First of all, I don't want to go somewhere that says doctor's hospital. You know what I'm saying?
They changed the name like 12 times.
So where you go?
So I know they was like, they went bankrupt or something.
Oh, hell no. I definitely don't want to go there. You'd be like, so where were you service at, son? I was at the doctor's hospital. Which hospital?
The doctor's
hospital.
No, I know you went to a doctor's hospital. Which one? No, it's called Doctor's Hospital.
And it's not even doc, it's abbreviated. It's Doc's Hops.
I think it is.
What the fuck out of hell?
DOC.
Like DOC a rapper?
DOC
a prostitute. So I left MC Rand to go to Doc's House. Like, get the fuck out of this. This is hell. Doc's Hops. house. I don't want to go there, man. Just let me die. Just let me die. Just throw me in the street.
LA, and I was in so much pain. LA was
any
like,
place that has a name, don't go to Doc's Hosp ever again.
Never.
It's all. It's funny that she asked you. You don't have insurance, but you got $70. How the fuck do you know how much this shit specifically costs?
That's what she said. I'm like, I don't got my wallet on me. She said, why you don't have your wallet? I said, ma'am, I'm in pain. Like, ma'am, just give me something.
You should have been like, $70? That sounds like your light bill, bitch. I'm not giving you $70 right now.
And I was like, I said, they never charged me. She said, they never charged. I said, I've been here twice. They never charged me. She's like, oh, yeah, they should have charged you.
She's going to be like, you know what, matter of fact, let me see. Oh, yeah, you owe us some money. Wait a minute, I'm going. I'm leaving.
My sister's like, let's get the hell out of here.
I was like, oh. Hey, let's leave out of here before they tell us we owe them the mortgage payment on this bitch.
I was like, oh, I'm going to
lock the doors on you, bro.
They're going to lock the doors and be like, hey, you know, matter of fact, you got to pay the mortgage for this Doc Hosp. This is
about I'm about to die. I was like,
hell no.
Start taking body parts and selling them on the black market.
Right.
Nah.
I joke with
you. Hey, she would have been like, you know what you got? How much you got on you? How much you got on you right now?
I'm surprised
you didn't
do that.
That would have been, I would have been
$20. All right, $5.
But like, you know what? Can you buy me lunch right now? If you can buy me lunch right now, I'll let you in this bitch.
I'll let you in. I'll let you get help.
Fuck that, man. Man,
I was like, man.
It's horrible.
And then it's crazy. So I was in when I was in the hospital, I'm sitting there chilling, talking to my wife. It was like 3:30 at night. This random guy just walked in our room. Hey, man, you watched the game? I'm like, the fuck you took me a game? What the fuck are you talking about? The game. And he sat down in my chair right in front of me. Start talking like, I'm like, nurse, where the fuck the nurse is at? Nurse. My wife on the phone crying, laughing. He's like, man, yeah. And he had his robe on, his doctor robe, being his hospital gown, butt ass naked, just ass cheeks all over my seat. And a bum coat. I kid you not, bum coat. He pulled out a half-eaten sandwich. You want this? I'm like, man, I don't want your COVID sandwich. Get the fuck away from me. Because we on the COVID floor. So that means you got it. Man, I'm trying to, man, get the fuck away from me. No, I don't want the restaurant, man. I'm like, dog. The next day, I said, Doc, the doctors come in, you know, check you in the morning. I said, get me the fuck out of here. I need to get up. Dog, so you got, I said, no. I can't stay here. Get me the fuck out of here, dude. I can't deal with random motherfuckers coming in my room.
I'll give you a horror story, man. My mom's years ago, she had knee surgery, right?
Uh-huh.
So we had to take her to this facility for rehab for the knee and stuff like that. It's on 16 Mile. I'm going to think of the name in a minute. Anyways, I go, my mom's calling me, she's not comfortable there because it's like, you know, first of all, it's just, you know, it's the bed's not comfortable, man. She's having anxiety. So she called me at 5 in the morning. She goes, come over here, you know, bring my medication, stuff like that. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm like, I'm on my way. So I don't work. So I'm like, I got to be at work at like 8. So I said, you know what, man, let me get dressed, and I'll just go over there before I go to work. So I get in there, right, my first time going in this place, and the place stinks like urine. Like, I'm telling you, it stinks. It just, it's all carpeted, so I think the people just pee on the carpet. It's just, it's that bad. So I'm walking in. Mind you, it's 6:45 in the morning, all right, 6:45 in the morning. I'm walking in, and there's a lady about as far as where you're sitting at right now in a wheelchair. I'm still half asleep, right? I got up at 5, I'm coming at 5 in the morning. I'm like, fuck it, I'm up already. I start walking, and I'm just looking. Me and this lady just make eye contact. But I didn't think nothing of it. She's just standing right there. She was like, where you been? I'm like, what the fuck you talking to? I'm like, holy shit. She's scared the shit out of me. I'm like, and I answered her. I was like, home. I'm like, and then she just kept, and then I walked, but she wasn't looking at me. She was just looking behind me. I don't know who she was talking to, man. This place, I thought it was a crazy place, man.
Oh, man, took him out to a crazy
dude,
house.
I was like, man, this place is freaking nuts. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, so then I keep walking, man. The place was horrible, man. It was really bad service there, dude. The place stunk in there, man. I was like, I had to go in there. I had to literally go in there and bring my mom air fresheners and all that because it was just really horrible in there. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, this place is like.
They need to be reported.
Hell yeah. No,
like, these hospitals is, I know they get money.
And a lot of people that are in there, I think they're like, you know, they're not mentally stable. So you see the behavior, man, in people, and it's like, it's scary because you're looking at them and they're like, and sometimes you'll be looking at them thinking they're looking at you, and they're looking at the person next to you. Like, what the fuck? Dude, I'm like, listen, man, I gotta go. Man.
It's funny because my roommate was here talking his sleep. He'd be like, Marie, I'm gonna get you. I'm going to get you, Maria. And I'm like, dude, where the hell they put me at? I was like, oh, no. My wife was like, just talk back to him. I said, hell no, I ain't fuck talking that, back. Man. I said, we both be talking. I sleep next to you, Diablo come out. I was like, fuck this shit.
I ain't talking to nobody. I'm like, you know, I'm going to keep it quiet. I'm going to just sit right here.
And I stayed up all night, and I sleep during the day. I'm like, no, man. Hell no.
No, man. Mm. No.
Next thing he over me, like, yeah, Maria.
Hell no. That's
some
scary
gotcha.
Shit.
Gotcha. Gotcha, Maria. Like, I'm going to cut your throat. I cannot. No, I don't do hospitals anymore.
No, nah, man. Can't it's do just it. It's just the conditions of them. A lot of times it's like, you know, unless you got money like that, you're not going to get the nicest rooms or the quality of service. Either way, but even if you get those type of services, the food is horrible.
Yes.
But also, in speaking of all that, we still got to give them a shout out because they're out there risking their lives for people that with COVID. So shout out to the people that work at hospitals that are doing a great job. But as far as the facilities and the food,
y'all suck.
That's not the best. You know what I'm saying? But they're doing, you know, if it wasn't for them, we'd be we'd be in a much worse
thank
place
you,
right
Ms. Sarah. That was her name, Ms. Sarah, the big titty lady who rubbed her titty on my back. Ms. Sarah.
You know, but she thought when she seen you, bro, when you turned around.
I don't know.
She was probably as excited as you were.
Yeah, I was like,
did she say she was sad to see you leave? Really?
Yeah, they were. They were like, we sad to see you. I was like, aww. They make me feel special. I don't. That's one thing me and my wife talked about. She said, I got to stop flirting. And I don't be trying to flirt with nobody. I'm just a naturally nice person.
It's you got your uncle's personality. And you got his laugh and everything. But I see you. I'm looking at you. I'm like, you look like your uncle, man. But it's nothing. It's cool, man. It's... Now, again, I don't know if you are flirting with these females or
not. I'm not. I just be like, just genuinely like, just, hey, how you doing? I just like talking to females.
It's just the way, it's probably the way you say it, bro.
Yeah, hey, I think.
Next time you say it, man, say it with a frown, like, hey, how you doing? Say it like you still got COVID.
They're probably really like, damn, ooh, you talking to me sexy.
Yeah. Hey, man, how you doing?
Now you sound like your uncle right now. Holy crap.
How you doing?
Like, hey. Next time, say it like you still got COVID, like, hey, what's up, girl? You know, just sound miserable and see what happens.
Okay, I'm
gonna still give you that, man. Then you know what? Then it's something. It is you, bro.
I'm sorry,
bro,
man.
It's gonna be even worse, bro. I'm like, oh, you all right? You need some help?
You need some help? I'm gonna rub your back. Oh,
that's funny.
Like your females at work. I love them. Hey, I'm nice to them. Hey.
Yeah. Well, you gotta
what you want for Christmas? I need my bill. I need that light bill paid. $200.
Dinesha can't be mad at that, bro.
She won't be mad. Oh, she won't be mad for that. They giving me money on my wife. Love that. Yeah, get them. But you better not take them out.
Right.
So
got it big.
That's one thing. I think my wife not scared of skinny girls. I always talk about her on every episode. Because she don't listen to the show. That's why.
One day she will.
One day.
What the hell did you say to me about you?
After she had a baby, she was going to sit there and listen to all the episodes, bro.
She gonna so, yeah, I listened to episode 10.2.
10.
What the hell are you talking about, huh?
Oh, my fault, baby.
Who's
my
the
fault,
nurse?
Yeah. Oh, the nurse? Oh, nurse. You got red nurse rubbing titties on you, huh? No, baby. You know, I mean, it's all entertainment, honey. This is all entertainment. All right, yeah, whatever, entertainment.
Entertainment purposes only.
That's how you doing, man.
So,
am I
going to
end the episode?
Nah, we going to go. What else we going to talk about? Huh? It's been a while. Oh, I got a question.
What's up, man?
Have you ever had hecklers? Is that the right word? Hecklers?
Heckler?
I guess you could say that.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Okay.
Have I ever had a heckler? One time, but it was kind of like set up.
Because
they were like, I'm gonna heckle you. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Typically, when you get a heckler, it's like it's not you're not set up for it. You know what I'm saying? You're not like I don't expect that to happen. You know, I mean, I'm not anticipating it to happen to me. When a heckler comes, a heckler is just you're just doing your show, and there's someone that just don't like what you're doing up there, or they're drunk, whatever, and they just want to say something, whatever. but I just feel like to me when I do comedy shows, when I perform, you know, I hate for that to happen because I really don't want to go back. I don't go back and forth with you. I don't want to do that because that's not why people pay to come see a comedy show. They don't they don't come to see me and some guy who's drunk go back and forth. I've seen that happen at shows. I've seen people do that. Sometimes, you know, if you get a good one on him and he'll hopefully shut up, but if he keeps going back and forth, it's just like you and it's a capping fest.
Yeah.
You and him going for and then people are like, you know, dude, we didn't come to see this.
Like, you can see that
you can go with your family, your friends do all that. So for me, I feel like You know, hopefully I don't get heckled. But if I do get heckled, you know, I try to handle that with some good comedy. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it doesn't, because, you know, I mean, people can get crazy, man. Especially people that are drunk. Yeah. They want to get stupid and brave, whatever. But nah, I've not been heckled. Hopefully not. But if it comes to me, hey, I'll treat it just like I would treat my brothers or my cousins messing with me at home.
Oh, yeah. Good time. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. I'm going to try a sketch first. Bro. I'm going to try a sketch first.
Listen, man, I feel like this. If you have an interest in comedy, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't even think he got an interest. I think he just do it. You
just
know, do it.
I like making people laugh. Like,
I'm pretty sure your uncle will tell you the same thing. I would say, you know, write yourself a good, because typically, though, if you go to do a show, they'll probably give you like 5 minutes, mm-hmm. right? All right, cool. Write you a good 5 minutes where you have your delivery and the punchline. You don't want to go on there and just talk and talk and talk, mm-hmm. and it doesn't get to the funny. Just write it out. Write it out what you want to talk about, mm-hmm. and that's what you go up there with. That way, boom, you feel confident, because I feel like when you go do comedy, you go up there with material, because I've done this before. I've been unprepared, and it doesn't go my way. It's like, oh, I didn't want to talk about that. I just kind of stumbled. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, have your set ready, and boom, go out there and deliver it. Just give it a shot, man. You know what I'm saying? Once these places open up.
I'm gonna do a little open tonight. Like, not open night. Is it open mic? Open mic.
Open mic, yeah.
I'm gonna do a little open. Yep. Like, five, 3 minutes.
Man. Just go up there. I'm telling you, I feel like once you go up there, you kind of get the idea how to do it. Whether you want to do it again, you'll know from that. Or maybe you might see, like, man, I could turn this into a sketch comedy. Like, to me, what I want to do for Sandro's Place, along with doing the interviews, is doing sketch comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to do character stuff, like what's on SNL. But because I like, you know, I like watching, like, Dave Chappelle stuff, In Living Color, all those shows. And I like stuff like that. I like being able to kind of turn into a character, mm-hmm. and build comedy off of that and just be putting on the channel. So
I got
Do you ever feel like you got to cater to, like, a certain crowd? Do you ever go to a show and be like, okay, this type of crowd?
Question, sir.
You know, people always ask me, you're a Latin comedian. I don't want to be looked at as a Latin comedian. Uh-huh. I'm a comedian that happens to be Hispanic, right? I want to think that all of our stories are, we can relate in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you have friends that may be Hispanic, you know what I'm saying? You know me, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like everything is relatable. So I don't want to just cater to just one, because then it's almost like, I feel like then all these people are missing out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. That's just like, when Gino would do shows, I want to see him do shows for everybody, because it's like, why would you want to cater to just one? People need to see this. It's comedy. It's funny. It's all relatable. You know what I'm saying? So I've never wanted to cater to one group. I want to cater to everybody that wants to go in there and laugh.
Nice.
Like, I did a show one time. I opened up for this friend of mine named Angelo Sarukis, and the show that he was doing for was because he's a Greek comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So the audience was Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these people don't, I don't know if they know any Hispanics.
Right, you don't really know their background, really.
My comedy is not really, like, I'm not gonna talk about being Hispanic in my stand-up.
Gotcha.
There's maybe one or two jokes that I might have in there, but even then, it's not to where you have to be Latino to understand.
Mm, right.
It's just generally funny.
Gotcha.
So I want to cater to everybody.
Yeah, sweet.
Even with the sketch comedy, or even doing the show, right? I don't want it to be, you know, people were like, you know, when I was creating the banner for the show, everybody was like, man, put your logo of the flag and all that.
Uh-huh.
What? My name is Rodriguez.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody.
I'm Spanish. You know that already. Why would I want to put the Puerto Rican flag in the background? There's no point of doing that.
No, he's Italian. Rodriguez is Italian.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure people ain't watching, like, man, this is a good interview, but what the hell is that host? What is he? It don't matter, man. What matters is the content. Yeah. So I wanted to stay away from putting that on the logo. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that, man. Just keep it, you know, put Sandro's Place. I want it to be, you know, the name and what the show is about. That's all it was. I wanted to do it that way.
What else? Stealing jokes.
Stealing jokes, man.
Have you ever caught somebody stealing your jokes or stealing somebody else's jokes?
Listen, man, if someone steals my jokes, then I'm a badass comedian.
Oh.
Because man. I feel like it happened. It doesn't happen. I'm pretty sure it does. Hasn't happened to me. I think everybody has their own story.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I can't steal your life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're married, right? You have kids?
Yeah, two.
You have two kids. How old are they?
One is not born yet, and one is 9.
All right.
Shout out to you, Leah. I love you.
So, I can't I can't tell a comedy story as a man with kids or with a kid on the way who's married because I have neither one of those.
Right.
So I can't steal your material. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I can steal is if it's something that's like off the cuff, just whatever. But I feel like, you know, for me, I feel like a lot of comics, everyone has their own unique story. From even like you, watching your uncle, right? I don't want to talk too much about your uncle, but talking about your uncle and his upbringing, right, with all his siblings.
Oh,
I can't steal his material. Nobody can unless you have the same amount of brothers and sisters he has. Or has the upbringing that he has. He has a different upbringing that his story is very unique. Mine is very, like, I have epilepsy. I talk about that on my show. Unless you can talk about me unless you have epilepsy. So there's probably certain things you might be able to, you think you could take and make it maneuver into you, but
right.
I feel like when it's about you, it's a lot harder to kind of take that material and make it your own, unless you just go up there and just blatantly lie.
Yeah, like,
you can go up there and lie. Now, if you want to lie, then yes, you can go up there and be like, yeah, I have epilepsy, and you don't. But people are going to know that. Because listen, I had a lady one time go up to me at a show I did, and I was talking about epilepsy. And she goes, you shouldn't talk about the epilepsy. That's so wrong. That's so mean. I'm like, honey, I have it. She goes, oh, my God, it's so funny. Wait a minute. Now it makes sense. Now it's funny because I got it and shit.
Like fat people. Oh, you can't talk about fat people because you're not fat.
But
400 pounds.
But everything, I feel like it's your story. I don't know if anybody would want to steal, man. It doesn't make you authentic, man. Because you can tell when it's something that's about you. When it's about you, people can kind of pick that up and be like, you know what, that's his.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, I can feel it. Because who steals?
But it happens. Listen, I'm pretty sure it happens. If it happens or it has happened or it will happen, you know, but if people are stealing from you, man, then that's not a creative mind.
Right. I'm like, no, that's like weak. Like, bro, I ain't gonna steal, like.
Yeah, but do you feel like comedy has changed then? Because I hear stories all the time about Eddie Murphy used to write jokes and he used to sell them for, you know, 50 cent a joke or.
Oh, that's some different.
Well, that's different. If you are a comedy writer, not necessarily performing, and selling certain jokes. Because that's like, you know, Prince. Prince used to write music for other artists.
That's true.
So he used to sell it, right? Like that song, Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. That was his song.
Uh-huh.
He sold it to her. So it's in the same sense. Now, if he would have wrote the song after that, dude, what the hell? That doesn't make any sense now. Now, he could probably sing it
right
as a cover, but the song is hers. Yeah, but he wrote the song. So with comedy, I feel like, you know, I can write a joke, and I feel like, man, this joke doesn't really, I can't pull off this joke for something, man.
Mm.
But he could probably pull it off.
Right.
The premise of it. It doesn't have anything to do with ethnicity, background, cultural, nothing. It's just a joke. But I think he could pull it off better. He might be able to add something else to it. Here, man, I'm going to sell you this joke for whatever.
Right.
You use it now. That joke is yours now.
Perfect. You know who Amy Schumer is?
Yeah,
she took the Bishop's jokes. About the, like, I'm like.
Well, the thing with her, like, I've seen, you know, I've seen videos.
I've heard that before somewhere.
Bro.
I've seen the videos of her doing jokes like Patrice O'Neal.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason why, well, you know, she used to open up for Patrice.
Yeah, it was real close.
Well, she used to open up for him, too. When I saw the similarities, I saw that. I was like, damn, that sounds too much like what he did.
Mm-hmm.
She did that. So, in this case, you know, I mean, people do that because Joe, literally, it was the one where the
pirate, I see the one with about the pirate and
the pubic hair and all in the face.
Pubic hair and stuff.
It sounds just like, it sounds the same. For someone to say,
ghosts, all that.
For someone to say, it's, I never heard this joke before. No, come on. There's no way you can.
That made me mad. Like,
There's no way you can say something identical to somebody else and say you never heard it. Nothing. It's got to be, I mean, I don't think that's possible. I cannot say, you know, that's like you saying a sentence right now, and I go outside and say the same thing, the same way you just said it, and you're like, well, I haven't heard that shit from my
but
man.
You might take away the and put the.
So like, but no, the jokes were very similar. So, and I mean, again, it's, you know.
And it didn't fit. Go ahead. It didn't fit me, Tara. Like, you don't like you do pubes, throw pubes at people. Like, you don't
fit. That joke didn't fit her, in my opinion. And when I watch it, I'm like, that's Patrice O'Neal's joke.
Yeah,
you can see that joke. He wrote that joke. He wrote that joke. Like, you took it.
He
and
said
you,
it. It was like
you made it. You took it. You made it. You know. You know. He's gone. He's dead. He's no longer here. And you took that joke and you ran with it.
And that makes suckle you by like, he dead. Let the come on, man.
So for me, I just feel like when I see stuff like that, it's like, you know, it's like it kind of sucks to take somebody's material like that. You know what I'm saying? But as far as, you know, people sell jokes all the time. Like if I had a joke that I don't think is good for me, I tell it to somebody else that they can pull it off. But in that sense, in that situation, you see Amy Schumer do the same joke identical to, she might have added something before that was different, but that joke is identically the same. And it happens now. Especially
it still hit though. That boy hit.
I mean, like, it hit. Funny, it hit because like, it hit because especially if those comic, if, especially if that audience is not familiar with Patrice O'Neal.
Right.
That's why it's going to hit. Mm-hmm. People like us, where we've watched Patrice O'Neal, right?
Right.
We see that, you're like, wait a minute, man, I heard that.
And it clicked. And it clicked right. I'm like,
because I heard that. I mean, it was at one of his one of the festivals that he did, and I was like, I heard that joke before. Now, someone that's not familiar with his stand-up, that's
might new be to hilarious them. To them.
It's, yeah, and people was dying.
It's new to them.
You're right.
They laughed just as hard as we were when we first heard him say it.
Well, it's just like you know, like I was saying with Prince, right? Prince has wrote a lot of hits for people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out, when I first heard that song sang by Sinead O'Connor, I was like, damn, that's hers. That's sweet. I found a Prince. Prince didn't write that. Like, yes, he did. He just sold it to her.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. But it happens. People write stuff for other people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's you.
But then, I mean, even if you do that, you can kind of hear that artist and whatever it is.
But, oh, that sounds.
That sounds like something Prince would say, or you know, that sounds like something.
I just feel like you know it's gonna have that flavor of sound from the other artist.
Right.
But for some reason, he probably didn't like that song. He probably felt like that song. This song is not for me. This has to be for either a woman. A woman has to sing this song to have the power that it needs. And what happened? She sang it. It's a great song sang by her. He realized he could sing it now as a cover song.
Right.
But people know where it originated from. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you steal a joke, just show homage. Yeah. Like, just say, you know, I'm showing homage.
I just feel like, you know, but I
no,
think.
But don't steal.
Nah, but I just think in a time like right now, man, there's so much to talk about in the world.
Yeah.
Man.
True.
And
yeah, it's
there's a shout lot. Out
Trump.
And if
shout out to Trump.
Yeah, man, and if you don't have a lot to talk about, then you're not seeing the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about without having to steal anything from anybody. From your own, listen, from your own personal experiences to what you see on a day-to-day, to what you see on TV, to what you see from your family. There's so much to talk about that if I feel the only way to become successful is I got to steal jokes from you, then what happens when you stop doing comedy? I'm fucked.
Let me hurry up and get to somebody else. So you elite.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm banking on you being successful, me as a comic, and you stop, shit, I gotta find the next hot comic. And who's to say that if I steal from that other guy, that material that he's doing is gonna work for me?
Right.
It doesn't play like that.
Right.
So I feel like, man, there's a lot of material out there. Go out there and write and write until you know. So you can't write no more, man.
What was your highest and lowest in the comedy game?
Highest and lowest, I would say my lowest was, you know, my lowest always came when I was unprepared. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to do shows with comics that had names behind them or at least had a crowd that I was opening up for them. And when I wasn't prepared, it was the worst. Right. I didn't buy my material. I didn't, because I felt like, oh, I can go up there and just freestyle. And I'm like, dude, you're not Jay-Z. You're not Eminem. You need to prepare. But even those guys, I feel like those guys have to prepare as well.
Right.
You know, go up there, prepare your material, man. If you wrote something, prepare it and go up there. So I feel like that was the lowest for me, was like, never preparing is what, it discouraged me from wanting to go on there again. When I did prepare, that was the benefit, right? Like, I did a show last year. I opened up. I hosted at the Comedy Castle, Mark Ridley's.
Okay.
Which is in Royal Oak, which is the home to all comedians. And I did the weekend show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Cool. So I did Thursday. My Thursday night show went great. Went good. My best friend came with his wife. The show was awesome. Friday night show came, I got cocky. I got cocky.
Feeling myself.
I got cocky and I started writing new material. And at the same time, I was writing new material that has yet been refined. I haven't refined it yet, right?
I haven't practiced it yet.
I haven't created it to be, this is going to be what it is. So I tried to do it and I stumbled and I messed up. Now the audience don't know that, but as an artist, you know, you're like, man, that's, come on, son. And then I did a Saturday night show. I did it again. I listened to someone else's opinion and I did the same thing again. Wasn't a bad weekend, but knowing what I could have done what I did Thursday, what I could have done Friday and Saturday, that was unacceptable for me. I was like, you know what, that's not cool. So never again will I listen to anybody else, to outside people telling me to do this, that, and the other, and I will not write new material unless I've perfected it for that evening.
Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, they give you 15 minutes to perform each night. So in that 15 minutes, if you're gonna drop something brand new, refine it first. At least for me, I don't talk about any other comics because every other comic is different. Other comics may be able to pull that off. Me personally, I can't. I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know, come up with something that I just came up with and just add it in there, because then it's going to make no sense. It's supposed to kind of be a story that you're telling up there.
Right.
So those were my highs and lows. Like, so I always want to make sure that when I go do a show, I'm more prepared. So that way, when I go up there, even if I do the same set Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that's a set that's built already.
Yeah. Right, I was going to ask that. Yeah, so do y'all do the same set?
I was listening to Kevin Hart one time, and that's what he said he do. He go out and the little local comedy clubs and he do his same show until he perfect it. And then he take it to the big screen.
Yeah.
And that's how you get all his big, you know, big name comic shows.
That's how he does it all hours. So what he does, he does all these shows and like he even said himself, he said he bombs a lot, right?
Yep.
Because you're trying some new material that you don't know if it's working yet. You're just trying to refine it. And then once he refines it to where he wants it, then he goes out and he delivers an hour special for everybody. Yep. And then when you watch it, you think to yourself, like, damn, I know all that stuff was in. He had so many rough patches he had to build. and now it becomes something that people will start to remember.
Right.
Because the hour is long. Yeah, like, if you think, like, talking.
Well, the thing about it is, an hour is long if you're unprepared, in my opinion.
Right, right.
If you're prepared, an hour could go like that.
Yeah.
I've seen your uncle do an hour.
Oh, man.
Easy, huh?
Hour goes by, because you got to realize, It's an hour of just boom, boom. It's nonstop. It's never ending.
Oh, I can see this going. Show be an hour like that. Sorry,
exactly. Hey. Like when you watch Dave Chappelle, right?
Uh-huh.
This guy's talking.
Yeah.
You forget. Oh, this shit's almost over.
He be giving that work.
Now imagine if he wasn't, because you gotta realize too. I think someone said to me that they think he freestyles. I don't think he does. I think he has his thoughts already there, and he puts it together. But imagine if his hour wasn't refined or thought out, and it would just drag. It wouldn't be any good.
Yeah.
Was that Sticks and Stones where he was going off about, like, Ferguson? That was Sticks and Stones?
No, Sticks and Stones was the one where he talks about, he opens up with Prince.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
He talks about Jussie Smollett.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But to see how he built all that, you got to understand something. That's not something that he just got on stage and just did it right there.
You can tell he came.
That was a very thought out process of stand up. He crafted that story to follow it right at the end.
Uh-huh.
Even the one that he did where he talks about Emmett Till, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where at the end of the movie, at the beginning of the show, he says, I write good jokes. He talks about the joke where he says, where I kicked her in the pussy, right? And then what does he do at the end? When he's talking about Emmett Till, he goes, if I saw that woman who made that lie about Emmett Till, I would say, thank you for doing that. I kick her in the pussy. He brought it together. That's crafted very well. That's crafted at a master's of level, man. But again, that's a lot of material. But there's never a point where it's like,
come on, hurry up.
No. He's like, he's giving you so much. You're like, another one to watch is Chris Rock special, The Tambourine. It's on Netflix.
I'll watch it.
It's a great one to watch. Watch how he crafts it. It's just, man, it's fucking amazing, man. When you see that, you're like, I want to be, and I know I can do stuff like that. It's just taking the time to craft it that way. And you got to realize, these guys have been doing this for years. I think Dave Chappelle started when he was 14.
That's great.
So, I mean, the man has had years and years and years in the game. I started comedy when I was 28. But then I wasn't even on a consistent. It was like I did it for. I didn't even start comedy because it was like I was just emceeing. So even when I was emceeing, I wasn't even doing comedy.
Right.
Because I wasn't used to it yet. Then eventually I built into it. So, but I mean, if I wanted to, I really crafted my. If I took my time, I can craft material.
I'm gonna start going to comedy clubs. When everything with Rona get go bye bye. Uh-huh. I'm gonna start going.
But definitely, man. Listen, man. If you wanna try it, man, go up there, give it a shot, man. You never know what the outcome of it will be. You know what I'm saying? You may go up there. It's in your genes, man.
I got some material, ex-wife. You know what I'm saying? It's in,
especially, that's another thing, too. Like, I'm not married. I've never been married. So I don't have, I can't talk about that. You can talk about that. I've had girlfriends. I can talk about that. But a marriage is a different kind of conversation you can have because everybody in that audience either is married or has been married, or know someone that was married. And they're going to relate to you on everything, from fights you may have had, from arguments you may have had.
To the sex that you're not getting.
To the sex you didn't get.
Boy.
They're probably going to be there, man. They're probably going to be after the show like, look, man, we need to start up a group, man.
I feel you.
We need to start an AA group or something like that, man.
Because I was at work. I said, it's funny how... When we get paid, it seems like it's easier to get the vagina. And dude's like, you know what? You got a point.
I would say write a good solid 6 minutes, man. Make sure your delivery is there and your punchline is there. Yep. And boom.
You could definitely
and just walk get off. A good like, 6 minutes, bro. Walk out, have the guy introduce you. Like, yo, this is the first time doing comedy. Do your 6 minutes and walk right the fuck off. Like, you know what? To a point we'd be like, I could come back again and do this.
Anyone
that ever asked me, man, should I do comedy? And it's not like they gotta ask me. I'm not the Messiah. I don't own comedy. But people be like, man, should I do comedy? Listen, if you think you got material, if you want to write something, give it a shot. Worst thing that can happen is you fall in love with it and you want to do it more and more and more, or you decide to say, you know what, I got that off my chest. I'm good.
Oh yeah, I just need.
I appreciate the art for what it is, but I'm not a comedian. Or you may realize, fuck, man, I love comedy. I like being on stage. And then this becomes a part of you now. So give it a shot, man. You got nothing to lose, man.
Right.
You got nothing to lose.
You know what? The worst thing is, like, oh, you suck. All right.
But not only that, it's not even that you suck. It's just they can probably say, you know what? He can use some work.
Mm-hmm.
But who cares what people say, man? I stop caring what people think because you're not going to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to please everybody in the audience. You got some people that might laugh and some people might be like, whatever. Something bothering them. That's why you're not laughing. You know what I'm saying? I've done shows where I've seen people laugh and I've seen people just stand there. I'm like, what the hell's up this guy? For real, this guy is literally just sitting there with the Grinch stole Christmas look. Like, why, dude? Like, this press, right? These people are laughing over here.
Uh-huh.
You can't win them all, man. And you just got to walk out of there like, look, as long as I heard laughter. I did a show one time where the audience is laughing. This was at a big-ass bar. And there was a white guy and his wife right in the front. I don't know why I said white guy. It doesn't matter what guy. He was sitting right in the front. He's looking right at me, and he's just not laughing. And I'm like, can y'all get this motherfucker drunk? Something? Because it's like he's just, but everybody else is laughing. So it all depends, bro. That's true.
I'm gonna do it. I got a whole bunch of material on marriage and going to church. Them two subjects. Church and marriage.
That's what you can do, man. Right,
that's easy, bro.
All the stuff we've been. I'm gonna do it. Coming soon, 2021. TTG is coming.
Why not, man? Give it a shot, man. Like I said, you might end up liking it. You might be like, damn, I like this shit. Now I gotta go back and write another.
Yeah, it's gonna be Jeter because my name is officially Jeter now. Changed it to Jeter, so now I'm gonna call myself Jeter.
Yeah, man, do 10 minutes, man.
I was born a Jeter. Just my mama just forgot to put that down.
You know, go out there and just deliver it, man. You know.
Huh. Okay. On that note, yeah, we done. On that note, we're gonna wrap it up. Where can people find you?
Listen, man. First of all, thanks for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it, man. People can go to. All my social media is Sandro's Place Comedy. That's SANDROSCOMEDY. It's Sandro's Place Comedy. My YouTube channel is Sandro's Place. You'll see me sitting down with people from comedians and actors from L.A. to New York to Detroit. Talking to people. Every Friday, new episodes drop at 12. And just go to my social media, man. Sandro's Place Comedy. I know I spelled it and I left the place out of there, but Sandro's Place Comedy, check it out. Thanks again for having me on, man.
Ron, what's your gamer tag? Where they can play the video game with you?
TYT Kills, the number 4 fun, bro. We in this thing. We in there.
Call of Duty, you see us. We drop bodies.
You don't want the smoke, bro.
You don't want the smoke. Late nights.
Late nights, all night.
Wipe skin on us, bad. Wipe skin on us. Come spend time with me. No, I'm playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, no, we just be having fun, man.
Talking junk, yelling at each other. Me and my friend arguing. Me and my brother, we argue on there all the time.
You ain't see that dude right there, bro?
He laughing.
I can't get into those games, man.
Really?
You know what? I bought a Switch, man. The Switch 1 year ago.
Uh-huh.
Man, I don't even play that thing. That thing gathers dust.
I'll be on that duty. Yeah. It'd be messing me up. I'm like, you know what? You ain't getting none. Okay.
About to lose a whole marriage over duty.
Like, okay, I got Call of Duty. I'm good.
I see people get addicted to that shit. I'm like, yeah, this is crazy.
It's addictive. It's addictive, bro. It's addictive. It can be. Oh, we got like 5 more minutes. It's addictive. It's crazy how I don't know why.
I think it's the reward of winning.
Winning and that accomplishment of like, yeah, I beat them. Yeah. I beat another 150 people.
I just killed a 9-year-old and all his friends. Yes.
And I go to work.
9-year-olds be on there slapping.
Hell yeah. Like, you bum.
Your mother adopted you. And stuff. Yeah, like that junk. Plenty of arguments at the crib because I've been on the game. That's crazy. The other day, my wife got mad at me because I was on the game with you all night. I said, I just spent time with you yesterday. Like, you want more time? Hey, dude.
We bonding. We bonding.
That's funny right there. See, like, how you dancing? That's funny right there. Like, she be dancing. I'm like, no, we bonding. You can bond with him later. When? You want everything?
I just paid the rent. Give me time to play this game. Shit, the rent's paid.
Damn, I just went right. Everything is
full in the fridge.
Let me just play the game for 12 hours. That's all I need.
That's it, man.
That's why I believe in polygamy. Have two wives so they can spend time with each other. You can get on the game.
That ain't going to happen in Michigan, bro.
I was like, oh, man.
You want to have two wives? Okay, well, I want two more husbands. That's when the shit changed. Like, you know what? Let's sell the Xbox. Fuck this. We're good.
Hey. You can't do what I do. On that note, we're going to see y'all later.
Peace.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, man. Peace.
That was funny.